Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Get back here. Websites, HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com. That's right, truth can't be silenced, and I want to thank you. I want to thank everyone who supports this program. I want to say thank you very much. And I want to thank as well the Patreon supporters. We had a great, just a fabulous meeting last night. I'll tell you what, I learned a lot last night. And thank you. And I hope you enjoyed the time together. It's always good to just spend time with people of like mind. And okay, so today, look, had a little bit some shucking and jiving we had to do. So John Moore could only do the first hour, my apologies to John Moore, and to you folks. We're going to bring Coach Dave Dobmeier on the first hour. And here's the deal. And in case you haven't seen this, Coach Dave Dobmeier made headlines across the globe last week. Why? Because he dared speak out against the Super Bowl, even daring to say, well, we should maybe sue the Super Bowl. You see, lawsuits, in my view, are the lawfare is the new frontier of the unhinged left. If you don't believe it, just ask me and I'll tell you. That's right. It's my story and I'm sticking to it. Am I out of lip sync? Are we okay? All right. There's a monitor never mind. By the way, suspect Roger Hedgepeth. Say that fast. 25-year-old lunatic leftist, I believe. I don't know. Lunatic for sure, leftist. I do suspect he was arrested outside the White House earlier today. In fact, this morning. Why? Well, he was carrying a knife and muttering about how he wanted to assassinate President Trump. And he said, you know, a Secret Service officer walked up to him and says, what's up? What's up? Guy walking around with a knife. What's up? And he says, I'm here to assassinate President Trump. And I've got a knife to do it with. So, you know what? Look, we have to have background checks for knives. I know you've heard this before. And I know you think, oh, come on. Oh, we do. More on this and the coronavirus and the unhinged left and the, and you know, here's the thing. I really think this is going to happen. I don't see any way, folks. I'm kind of resigned to the fact that we're going to see a civil war in this country. And if you don't believe me, you're a lion dog faced pony soldier. What is that? That's nasty. Shouldn't have said that. Well, Joe Biden said that. You lion, dog-faced, pony soldier. Ever been to a caucus? I think he just likes saying the word caucus. Anyone, you ever been to a caucus? I've been to a caucus. You ever been? I've been trying to figure out. I've been searching what a dog-faced pony soldier is. It must be an inside joke with crazy Joe, Uncle Joe, creepy Uncle Joe Biden, but. It could be like a stink stained moss eater. I don't know, but, maybe they're somewhat, same thing. Don't know. So a lot to get into this show, including, as I said, or maybe I didn't, a lot on the coronavirus. Should you be concerned? Absolutely. Is this a bioweapon? I think that's been readily established. I think the preponderance of evidence did establish that and more. So, but I think that we are headed for internal conflict and, I don't see any way out of it. I see some things happening. I'm telling you right now, I see some things happening. Now, July is the Democratic convention. All right. I'm going to tell you something. You watch for an outlier to come in. Because Pete Buttigieg, because him, I don't know about him. I don't know if he's going to have the rocket up his butt. Well, maybe that's a bad turn of a phrase, but maybe he will. Anyway, who knows? Folks, I want you to take a look at this. This was on Fox News last week, or Saturday, actually. I spoke to Coach Dave Dommeyer on Saturday. He was all over the, I mean, all over the news. Columbia. Not the District of Columbia, but the country. He was in the overseas. RT. Oh, no! He's a Russian agent. He was all over. Why? Because of this, folks. Watch this. Maybe. This is one of these embedded videos, you know. Okay. Follow the bouncing ball. So we got to reset this. Or Eric's got to reset this. By the way, Eric the Tech, what a great guy. He's not a lying dog face pony soldier. He is a wonderful tech as well as a fantastic son-in-law. He was, we had a little issue this morning upon coming into the studio early this morning, as we always do, hours upon hours before the program starts. And we walk in and, there's water that's creeping along the, studio floor line. And we're like, what's going on here? You know? Well, here's something that maybe y'all don't know. You all don't know. And it is, water and electricity and electronics, they don't mix. So right now, my daughter's uncurling Eric's hair. And, you know, natural curl from the 110 and 220s. But he'll be okay. He's just a little crisper around the edges. All right, here we go. Let's watch Coach Dave Dommeyer.
That the NFL, Pepsi, and whoever else you want involved in there, they pumped soft pornography into our home without our warning. I'm not worried about my own eternal soul. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. I'm worried about the young eyes that were able to view that halftime porn show, soft porn show, when the parents didn't even know that this was about to show up inside their living room. My complaint is if they didn't put a warning at the beginning saying caution, some of this may not be appropriate for young children. Why couldn't they do that? That's my complaint. Not that I'm too prudish to have my holy eyes see that, but that young children, unprotected eyes, were seeing it. That's my complaint. Well, you would certainly agree with me, wouldn't you, that a young girl doing flips at a high school basketball game, it's not the same as the television lens zooming in on exactly what's happening in front of us, right? We understand that. The entire focus of that dance, many times, was the anatomy. All I'm asking for is a fair warning so I can guard the eyes of young children from that. And I believe that I represent, no matter how much the media, not including you, no matter how much the media has tried to make me look like a fool, I represent millions of Americans who are sick and tired of this stuff coming into our home, especially without our approval. Talk to a parent out there who's dealing with pornography issues with their children. Young kids who are trapped, who are lured into pornography, and men whose lives are destroyed, marriages that were destroyed because pornography. If you think pornography is something to laugh at, then you are on the wrong side of the border as far as I'm concerned. Pornography is a tremendously damaging issue in America today. And what did they do? They indoctrinated, introduced children to pornography. And I don't think it's a laughing matter. Thank you. Well, watching McDonald's makes me want to eat a hamburger. Watching Donato's commercial makes me want to eat Donato's. That's called marketing. What was the NFL trying to market to young minds when they put that stuff on the TV? Now, if they want to put it on the TV, they can do that. Feel free to do that. But again, I come back to what I believe to be a reasonable position. Why don't they warn us that some of the stuff that's about to appear on the screen may not be suitable for young children? That's my position. And I think the idea of football and injuries and all that stuff, that's a whole different issue. My children can be harmed by watching pornography. They will not be harmed by watching a football game. Have you ever spoken to a family who has an issue with a family member whose life's been destroyed by pornography? Ask them if they think it's the same. Ask them. Let's ask the victims here, the real victims. And I want to prevent people from becoming victims. And I don't think it's out of the ordinary. Just because everybody else wants to watch porn, does that mean I want my child to? And I don't have the right in my own home to know that pornography is about to come in. It's about to come into the sanctuary of my home. And the NFL doesn't even have the decency to warn me that it's coming. I think it's reprehensible. It's about whether or not we as of God-fearing Americans are going to protect the innocence of our children or others' children. Do we have an obligation to try to guard and guide them away from things that are going to be destructive to them?
The baby-faced, reluctant leader of the Second American Revolution, Coach Dave Dobmeier of Pass the Salt Ministries, ptsalt.com, or coachdavelive.com. Coachdavelive.com, folks, if you haven't done so already, please bookmark coachdavelive.com. Please do that. Please do that. And you know what else? Support this man, because he is, I believe, the reluctant leader of the Second American Revolution. Why? Because no one else will. Everyone else talks a good game. It's easy to sit behind a microphone, regurgitate open source BS, but it's a whole nother thing to get your skin in the game and do what Coach Dave Dobmeier does. Coach, how you doing?
Doug, I'm doing great. And really, a lot of people over this weekend said, Coach, you need to clean up your act. I got so many emails, but you know what it's like, right? So I shaved. I think that's what they meant, right? So I got rid of my goatee. Yeah. I cleaned up my act for him. I look a little bit softer. It's ironic, Doug, as we're sitting here right now doing this show on my cell phone. Look, you can't make this up. On my cell phone.
Okay.
Facebook has banned my latest video, which was Saturday on my own show. I did an hour production.
Right.
Defending my position, explaining what went on, and look what YouTube says. Your post goes against our community standards on hate speech. My show, Doug, I am not making this up. Over the last 4 days, I would say I have received emails of at least 25 erect penises, pictures of erect penises into my personal email. Doug, and then Facebook says me coming on and defending my position is what? Well, it violates their community standards, right? There
my
it is, right?
Goodness.
This is where we're living. And you know what's really, Doug, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on.
I got a story to tell here before I shave my face, by the way. I made this video, Doug, in my car. I watched the Super Bowl. Anybody who's, we all watched the Super Bowl.
Sure.
I saw that stuff. I turned it off at halftime, saw it later, and I went out in my car the next day or the 2 days afterwards, and I said, what's going on here? Why do they have the right to pump that smut into my house without a warning? Just give us a warning that it's coming in. First of all, I don't think they should be able to pump it into my house, but, if the courts say they can, yada, 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 okay. Can't you warn me? Look, Facebook just warned everybody. Is my Facebook page, is that more sacred than my own home? Facebook can put up a warning. And I just said I thought it was reprehensible that Fox, Pepsi, who's the third one? Thoughts, Pepsi, is it, NFL.
Yeah.
Can't they warn me?
Well, Coach, now wait a second. What you're saying is, if you're gonna broadcast this softborn, put a warning in front of it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Or are you saying no? You should not have this broadcast.
Not allowed to do it. Not allowed. Nobody's allowed to look at this. You're not allowed to do it. No. I just said give me fair warning that it's coming in. So I made this stupid. I made this video, not a stupid video. And then somebody, our friend, I think Doug, Kyle, Right Wing Watch.
Oh Kyle, yeah, Kyle, how you doing, buddy? Yeah.
I want to thank him because, Kyle, the number of hits that I've got, I mean, I've become famous. Bogota, Colombia, Dublin, Ireland, as they called it, Canada. I've been everywhere, Doug. I don't know what made it blow up, but bear with me here a second. And so on my show, I did about a 30-minute monologue like you often do. And Kyle and his friends or whoever it was, as you would say in my opinion, they took a 1 minute segment out of that broadcast that I made, and they pumped that across the world and said, here's a coach afraid to lose his salvation I'm in danger of hell because of the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Now, I did say that, Doug, but it was part of a 40 minute, you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I was making examples, right? Doug, I'm telling you, that thing went absolutely viral. I started getting these things in my email. I started getting penises, erect penises. I'm not making it up.
Oh, no, believe me, we get used condoms. So
all right, so I'm starting to get this in my, and I said, what's going on? What is going on? Because I never said a word about homosexuality or anything, right? And then all of a sudden, I'm getting requests from all these radio stations and what? But hey, Doug, I've been at it long enough that I know this. I know none of those are my friends. I know they're not my friends, right? And I knew that they were calling me because they'd read the article and they knew I was just an idiot, you know, a guy with no teeth. This one's fake, but the rest of my teeth are real. You go down to West Virginia, maybe they don't have teeth, but we still got them here in Ohio. That's a joke, folks. That's a joke. But they think I'm an idiot. They think I'm an idiot. So everybody, including, by the way, Christian media, I think, believed that I said this stupid statement about my salvation.
Right.
And Doug, it opened up the opportunity to be on. I can't even tell you. That's, you hear that go off? That's another radio station or somebody wanting to do an interview with me. And so it gave me a great platform to see what you just saw. And it took, Doug, 2.5 days, I'm not making this up, before I heard from one conservative medium. Now, I'm not blaming you. It was on the weekend. Nobody called. No Christian radio stations, no conservatives. Nobody called to get behind me or hear what I wanted to say. Nothing. They let me hang out there and get slapped and whipped by the God-hating leftist media, and nobody came to my defense until Fox News called me on late, I think it was Friday evening. I don't know. I lose track of time.
Yeah.
And gave me a platform to do that video that you just saw. And still today, now I've heard from Doug Hagman. Praise the Lord for Doug Hagman. And I got a couple more today. But for the most part, our side wants to act like this doesn't even happen. Can I tell you why? Because there's pornography in the church. There's pornography. The churches probably played the halftime show. Probably did. Mm-hmm. We're complicit in all this thing. And because we're complicit in all this pornography, we're not able to stand up and push back against it. So I'll shut up for a minute, Doug. That's my story. Sticking to it. I don't back down. It gives me the opportunity to go on against some of these God haters and slice and dice them with the truth. Because here's what it is. Number one, what we watched in the Super Bowl, excuse me, was the exploitation of women. Doug, sure. you have a beautiful little grandson. But if he was a granddaughter, if that was your granddaughter, would you pick her up and say, oh, honey, I can't wait to watch you strip, do pole dancing on the Super Bowl? That'll make Grandpa so proud. Or to pick up your little grandson, Joseph, and look him in the eye and say, oh, Joe, I hope you get hooked on porn. Oh, I hope. I get mad. And I got to check my mouth. What's wrong with us?
You're absolutely right. And you know, I believe that there's a problem with pornography. And I think evangelicals, the right wing, conservatives have a problem with pornography as much as, now the problem there is a little different, I think, from the left, because the left, they embrace this kind of stuff, and they embrace all the wrong things, in my view. The, you know, transgender, LGBTQ plus whatever. So yes, okay.
Hey, Doug, just pardon me a second.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but my brain's been going 4,000 miles an hour for about 6 days. Okay.
Sure.
Can you imagine, Doug, if we showed up for a school for LGBTQ people and put on a production about how those trapped in homosexuality are going to hell and gave a video of the medical consequences? Can you imagine how the left would scream and holler? Can you imagine if at the halftime of the Super Bowl, somebody bought an advertisement on the medical consequences of what homosexuals do? And they showed places on their faces with STDs or wiping their faces away, and showing guys are wearing anal bags because of the sphincter muscles. You with me, Doug? Would they have put a warning label up for that? No, Doug, they wouldn't put a warning label. They'd have given one of those.
Yeah.
You can't watch that. Can't watch that, right? But we as Christians, see, they've made us feel guilty because we want the same rights as everybody else. Equaljustice.com, right?
That's right.
Listen, that triggered me. That triggered me. I learned this, Doug. They don't know what to say. I said, I represent the Christian community. Oh, they love the LGBT community. Oh, they love the black community. Oh, they love the women community. Oh, they love the educational community. But when I say I represent the Christian community, no. I had enough of it, man. I had enough of it. So I just made on that video, I said, we ought to sue the NFL for $656 trillion. Now, I would hope anybody who has a brain understands that's hyperbole. Right.
Well, you're asking a lot, Coach.
Not if you're on the left.
Yeah, you're asking a lot. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Hyperbole and opinions, apparently, unless you really cite the fact that this is your, you know, they're disallowed. And that Facebook war or whatever, you know, that answers a question because I was trying to spread. I copied that video, and in fact, part of your post, you had a post on Saturday, so I was trying to push it out of my social networking. I couldn't do it; it wouldn't stick. So,
doesn't meet their standards, Doug.
Oh.
Listen, I guess their standards are crotches, women's crotches—that's their standard, right?
Yeah.
That's a standard. And we, as a Christian community, we're not allowed to speak up against it, see, because we're not as powerful as the homosexual community and the lesbian community and the transgender community. We're not as powerful as them. There's just millions and millions, millions of us, and they've convinced us that there's something wrong with us if we want to censor anything. Well, I don't want to censor anything, but I don't want it coming into my home. I think I have a right to tell whoever that ain't coming into my home. That's why we are in serious, Doug, I'm serious. As a judge, pardon me, I've talked to several lawyers today. We're going to sue. We are going to sue the NFL. Now, Doug, hang on. Because the Christians out there, oh, keep your emails. I don't know how many I got. Christians don't sue. You must not really be a Christian. Christians don't sue. No, dude. Christians don't let porn come into their homes. Whatever we have to do to stop it from coming into our homes, that's what we're going to do. My email inbox has blown up. Thousands of people saying, go sue, Coach. I'll help you. I'll send you some money. Go sue. So, Doug.
Wow.
Pepsi, NFL, Fox. You know what I found out today? Maybe the city of Miami. The city of Miami was responsible. You know, we did some research and we asked one of my friends, Chad, asked the NFL, who's responsible for that show? You know what they said? The host city.
Really?
The host city.
Okay.
Wow. Who might that be? The host city. Well, we'll just add them to the list as well. And I hear you. I hear you, naysayers. I hear you. Coach, you'll never win. They're too powerful. They got too many lawyers. They'll eat you alive. I was a football coach, boys and girls. I played the game every day, every Friday. I played the game whether I thought we were going to win or not.
Every game.
That's right.
You can't just play games that you think you're going to win. You can't just take battles on that you think you're going to win, that you know you're going to win. See, there is nobility in doing the right thing. And suing the NFL is the right thing. Suing Fox is the right thing. Suing whoever is the right thing. Doug, you think I'm nuts?
No, I don't. And especially after the wonderful compilation video that we saw that Fox News that appeared on Fox News.
They did a great job of that, didn't they? They did a great job.
They did. And you know, no, I don't think you're nuts. And I think the cause is noble in my view, that what you're doing, the cause is noble. And it's righteous and it needs to be done. And this is not, and you said it during the video, this is not because we're prudish. This is not because, we're at risk of losing as Christians our salvation. This is because it's the right thing.
Love protects, Doug.
Yes.
Love protects, right?
And you know what? If we, and you said it too, if we got up there and we extolled the virtues of nuclear biblical marriage, we would be, we'd be catching lawsuits left and right.
Oh, hey, Doug, how about this one? What if at the halftime they'd run an anti-global warming commercial? Oh, my goodness. What if the entire halftime show had been a bunch of scientists explaining why global warming is a fraud? Doug, they'd have burnt down the stadium. They'd already burnt down Pepsi. Right?
Exactly.
Come on.
And, you know, I love the way you – and this is what I see. And maybe – tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you're using the tactics of the left, of the enemy, against them. Is that kind of what I'm seeing here?
Well, hey, Doug, you know rules for radicals, right? Alinsky's right. Rules for radicals. Well, number one thing they say is to pick a target, freeze it, and don't let up on it. I got up this morning. I do that often.
Get up? I'm glad, man.
What's in my email? Penises.
Ah.
So they got up this morning and started again. Why? They are unrelenting. See, they think they're messing with a wussy. They think at some point I'm going to get tired of opening up emails of penises and go away. Doug, they got the wrong guy, man. They got the wrong guy. Now, listen, folks, I think this is really crucial for you to understand this. And Doug, you being a guy a lot smarter than me, you tell me if I'm wrong.
I think that's hyperbole.
Okay. I think they send me a picture of, like, they'll put a headline on it, say, what do you think of this? Or they'll say, does the NFL love this? And then you click on it, and what is it? It's a picture of an erect male penis, right? Now, Doug, I think they're baiting me into responding to them, right? Saying, go pound sand and hit and send. And then they're going to report me for pandering pornography. See, I think it's a setup. There's no other reason why they would do it. And luckily, the Holy Spirit cautioned me, because I take these guys on, Doug. I'll just be honest with you. I don't back down. And the Holy Spirit cautioned me not to do that. Can you see that happening, Doug?
I can. And yep. Until you said that, and very, very good catch on that. Wow.
Look, Doug, I don't want to dominate your show.
No,
here,
please do.
You need to take a break or anything, because I want Eric to throw something up on the screen for me if we could.
All right. As a matter of fact, your timing is amazing. Hey,
well, I do this, right?
Fantastic. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. We're going to be right back. We're going to be taking a break. Did I catch the timing right, Eric, the tech? All right. He said yes. Coach, we're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. Coach Dave from CoachDaveLive.com. Making headlines, making news, making the left, nervous. Lying dog face pony soldier. Joe Biden. Gonna be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
And welcome back to Hagman after the bottom of the hour break right here on Global Star Radio Network. A very special guest, Coach Dave Dobmeier from CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. The link is in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. There's where you need to go, HagmanReport.com, for all of the links, because I have a feeling after today, maybe that's the only place you'll find us. All right? That's HagmanReportLive.com. HagmanReportLive.com. By the way, the American Thinker had, there was an article on the 3rd. Coach, I don't know whether you saw this, but it was by Andrea Widberg. The Super Bowl 2020 halftime was polished, highly produced, and vulgar. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what Andrea wrote. I just want to make sure I quote her correctly. This year, Super Bowl took place in Miami. It was therefore appropriate for the halftime show to have a Latin beat with Shakira, I guess, what, Shakira, that's how you pronounce it, and J-Lo as headliners. Still, some people ask, did the show have to be so vulgar? Now, going down the article, while shaking hips are now old hat, there were still a lot of vulgar moves. I guess they call that twerking, too, by the way, I just in my mind, and costumes in the halftime show. Shakira implied bondage by wrapping a rope around herself. Oh, isn't that interesting? Bevies of athletic young women thrusting their pelvises at the TV cameras. Yeah, you know what? Stop it. No one wants to see that. Maybe some.
Right. Some do. That's a sad thing. Some do want to see it, don't they, Doug?
Exactly.
But I don't want to.
Yeah. Shakira writhed on the floor as a wrapper bent over her body. Shakira, she was flicking her tongue at the camera. She was, oh my God, you know, I'm not going to read this, but, you know, wagging her half naked butt on the camera. This is ridiculous. But so coach, folks, Coach Dave Dobmeier, again, a guy I like to call the reluctant leader of the Second American Revolution. Why? Because nobody out there is doing anything. And when we should, and that includes me, yours truly, why haven't we taken up the mantle to overturn this? I'm just rocking with you.
Yeah, all right, man.
So Coach Dave, CoachDaveLive.com is the website, but Coach Dave, go ahead, brother. Thank you.
Doug, how about if I come back to the idea of two systems of justice in the good old U.S. of A, huh? Two systems of justice?
What justice?
Right? Yeah. What justice? What justice is there? And so I've been doing some research because, first of all, I heard from everybody on our side, you're wasting your time, Coach. You can't win. The NFL, they've got more lawyers than they have football players. Coach, you can't win. Blah, 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 blah. Over and over. From our team, Doug. From our
of course.
Team, right?
Yeah.
And I try to make the point to them that you don't win every game. Sometimes you know you're not going to win every game, but go fight wins. Sis, boom, bah, hit them hard, right? Fight that team across the field. You got to go fight. Sometimes you don't know if you're going to win. By the way, I plan on winning, okay? I want you to know I plan on winning. But see, Doug, we have a thing called the FCC, the Federal Communications Corporation. And it's their job to watch for evil things going on our TV screens. They are designed to protect us. So I had some attorneys say to me, well, Coach, that's where you have to start. You got to start with the FCC. So, Doug, I went to the FCC. By the way, folks, you can help us out by going and filing a complaint with the FCC. Here it is. It's just type in FCC Complaint Center, which Eric has up on the screen for you. Good man, Eric. Way to pop that up there. And it shows you how to file a complaint. And we did it. And you all could do it. We could, what if a million people did this? But they're probably not going to. But, Eric, if you would, pull up the second one. Because I dug a little bit deeper into the FCC. Okay? Doug, pardon me for reading, but I think it's important we do this. Okay?
Sure.
It says on the screen that is right before me that federal law prohibits obscene, indecent, and profane content from being broadcast on the radio or the TV. That may seem clear enough, but determining what obscene, indecent, profane means can be difficult depending on who you talk to. Stay with me, Doug.
I'm here. I'm right here.
In Supreme Court 1964 landmark case on obscenity and pornography, Justice Potter Stewart famously wrote, "I know it when I see it." All right?
Yep.
Well, that case still influences FCC today. Doug, this is the FCC writing this. This isn't Coach Dave, okay? That case still rules FCC rules today. Yep. Complaints from the public about broadcasting objectionable content drive the enforcement of those rules. In other words, Doug, are you reading this? If you know it when you see it and find it objectionable, you can tell the FCC that. Doug, if I say it's pornography, they have an obligation to do something about it. You with me?
I am.
Are you following? Okay, let's go back there, Eric. I know. Come on now. So we say, okay, deciding what's obscene, indecent, or profane. So they give us three things here, Doug. FCC, on webpage, they let this crap come into my house. The FCC did. Well, the first one is obscene, and it has to have three rules that you have to meet for it to be obscene. It has to must appeal to an average person's prurient interests. It must depict or describe sexual content in a patently offensive way, and taken as a whole, lacks serious literary, art, political, or scientific value. That one's hard, almost impossible to prove, Doug. But lo and behold, what does the next one say? Indecent content portrays sexual or excretory organs, that would be crotch shots,
yep,
or activities in a way that is patently offensive but does not meet the three-pronged test for obscenity. So then it goes on down and says, well, what about cable TV? He said, yeah, they're under the rules. Go on down, yeah, they're under the rules. Now watch. You ready? Doug, you sitting down? Folks, you sitting down out there? Watch this here. Lo and behold. Eric, I may have to click on that obscene. I don't know, bro. I hate to do this too. Oh, no. Go back up, Eric, just a little bit. But there you go. Stay right there, man. Okay, so under profane content, follow me, Doug? Includes grossly offensive language, yeah. Factors in determining how the FCC applies rules include the specific nature of the content, the time of the day it was broadcast, and the content in which the broadcast took place. Now, don't forget, they said, if I think it's offensive, then it's offensive. That's what they said. We just read that, right?
That's right.
I know pornography when I see it, so I'm the judge of what it is. Okay, stay with me. Watch this, Doug. Broadcasting obscene content is prohibited by law at all times of the day. Indecent and profane content are prohibited on broadcast TV and radio between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. Watch, Doug, when there is a reasonable risk that children may be in the audience. You think there's a reasonable risk that children might be watching the Super Bowl?
Yes, but Coach, this is normal behavior, right? I mean, this isn't pornography. This is normal behavior.
So what they say, just change the channel. Yeah,
exactly. Or turn it off.
I don't want to change the channel. I don't want to.
Good. Yeah, because we get the same thing here. Well, I don't like you talking. Whatever. So yeah, don't watch. Well, no. You got to change. Yeah, thank you.
Right?
Go ahead. All right.
I want to watch the Super Bowl. And I don't want to have to sit in front of the Super Bowl with my remote figuring out when I have to change the channel.
Right.
I don't want to have to do that. And all I'm asking for is the warning, just a warning. Hey, porn coming up, soft porn coming up. Kids may not want to watch it. Hey, Doug, why didn't the NFL and Pepsi and Fox, why didn't they warn us?
Well, Coach, I don't know. Maybe they will.
I know. You know why?
Why?
Because they've been admitting what they're about to show you is filth. They would have had to admit that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, actually, yes. And that would have gone against their own standards, right?
Doug, I can't wait to get that Pepsi lawyer. Can't wait to get that the owner of Pepsi, whoever. I can't wait to get him on the witness stand and ask that question.
Very interesting.
Huh? Why did Pepsi sponsor this program? Oh, you want to sell Pepsis? Is that right, sir? Oh, okay. Why did you have young women on there as strippers?
With a pole, yeah.
That's the response you're going to get, isn't it? Because he ain't going to want to answer it.
No. I mean, this is going to be good. This whole thing is going to be good. Because, again, I can see where you are delivering this very bitter pill of their own medicine back at them. And and you people... And I'm talking to Christians too. You know exactly what I'm talking about because I can, you know what, Coach? I can just see, there's an old, dried up old, in bag anyway, that has a website. I could tell you right now. Okay, she is the great. Let me tell you, she's the greatest Christian alive. And if you don't believe that, just ask her. I guarantee you that she's going to be right. She's going to be saying, "Oh, Coach Dave, it's Christian. No, you can't do that. You can't sue people. It's wrong to sue people." Yep. Dude.
Yep.
Okay, well. No, you're right. And I love this. I love this. So, okay. Now.
So Doug, I know people don't get it. Because Christians don't play offense.
Right.
We're dart catchers, right? We got to put on the full armor of God. Doug, have you ever seen this? I got this from one of my good friends.
Look at that.
Put on the full armor of God. Doug sent me this, folks, for a Christmas gift. We're supposed to put on this full armor just so we can catch the fiery darts. We're just supposed to catch them. Just catch them. This guy's not supposed to fight back, huh? He's not supposed to use that little sword, is he? Well, I think he is, see?
That's right.
And you know why the world's shocked? You know why the homos are shocked? You know why everybody's in up? Because they're going to try to silence me, because the last thing they want is an awakened group of Christians realizing that we can use the same warfare techniques on them. Oh, Doug, they don't want that, do they, buddy? They don't want that. No. See, those same laws apply to me. And isn't it something that the FCC, you mean to tell me, Doug, the FCC on their own, just like Facebook? No, I don't think anybody called Facebook and told them to ban me. But Facebook just on their own said, oh, that's good. We can't watch that. They can't watch that. They made their own decision on their community standards.
Right.
The FCC, I just read their community standards.
So,
we couldn't enforce them?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm. And hate speech? I don't think so.
Hate speech.
Doug,
after they sent me pictures of penises
for
72 hours, hate speech.
And you know what, Coach? You know what bothers me too about this? People think, well, you know what, Coach deserves to get an erect.
He's a loud mouth, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you say that until your wife opens up an envelope that's got a used condom in it. Okay.
Yeah.
You say that until your wife gets an erect penis on her phone. Wait a second. What? She does already? Yeah. Okay. That aside, yeah. You know,
yeah. Because why, Doug? I don't know. Somewhere along the line, we Christians, we thought it became a badge of honor to be persecuted for Christ.
Well, wait a second. Aren't we supposed to turn the other cheek?
Well, that's what they say. But, Doug, I'll turn the other cheek when the personal assault's at me, but I'm not going to turn it when they're trying to influence my little grandson. Hey, Doug, I wonder, folks, I'm just trying to paint a picture here. I wonder how many Christian churches out there would give me the opportunity to stand in the pulpit and say what I just said. How many you think that would be, Doug?
Let's ask right now to all the Christian churches out there.
We know. No. Because why? Because, see, pointing out the truth of what happened last Sunday when they pumped that into our home, pointing out that truth should convict the man standing in the pulpit. It should convict him. And he would look really foolish if he let that go on and hadn't mentioned anything about it. The scourge of pornography. We have a local weatherman here in Columbus, Ohio, who was just caught with unbelievable amounts of pornography on his website. You can Google it. And
I'm
find
familiar
it.
With that case. Yep.
But I'm just telling you, most likable guy that you could ever want. His entire marriage is ruined. His family's ruined. His career's ruined. Everything's ruined. Wouldn't you like to go back to him and say, hey, Mike, when did you first start looking at that stuff? And Mike, did you know that when you started looking at that first Playboy magazine, that it was going to end up here 30 years later? And folks, do we have an obligation as Christians to make sure this doesn't happen to anybody else? Soft porn. Doug, Pepsi and that whole gaggle of the NFL, you know what they did, Doug? They just gave a Budweiser to a 5-year-old. That's what they did.
Well,
they just gave a marijuana cigarette to a 7-year-old. That's what they did. And we as Christians, we're too stupid to understand it. Pornography destroys lives, destroys marriages, destroys careers. And we all sit around and laugh as here, one another beer. As another beer is given to our 10, 11-year-old, 12-year-old boys who are just starting to think about girls. Daddy, what's that?
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
That's it, isn't it?
It's as simple as that, Coach. It really is. And you know, for as much as I was animated earlier, you know, this is really serious.
It's really serious.
It is, because
really serious.
You know, and why aren't women speaking out again? You said it too. Why aren't women speaking out against this? This, you know, to me, and you again, you said it earlier. You know, Coach, I love my wife, and I love my daughter, and I love my, I have too much respect for them, to see them in this environment or even exposed to this environment. So, you know what, to me, that, Coach, you are exhibiting what a man should be, in my opinion. I believe that by protecting your wife, your daughter, your grandchildren, that's what guys do. That's what real men should do.
And protect the innocent.
Protect the innocent. And you know, and if you don't, and you call yourself a Christian, you know what? You're not. I don't believe that you are. Go ahead.
So, Doug, I'm sorry to lean into the camera, but I like people to think a minute. Why am I catching so much crap over this, Doug? What was it about this little video that I made that so inspired the dark side to respond the way they did? Doug, could it be there after our kids? Could that be? And they have to do their best to make sure they shut the mouth as quickly as they can of anybody who might be pointing that out. Could that be what it is?
Well,
I'm sorry, one more thought, Doug.
No, go ahead.
Isn't it amazing that the other side has a team already in place to start attacking me? As soon as somebody says, gets out the word, you think I'm a conspiracy theorist? No, I'm just a realist here. The call went out somewhere, hey, attack that coach, attack that coach. And here they come, penis, penis, penis. Attacking my Christianity, attacking my, boom, boom, boom. Hey, Doug, that was a coordinated effort.
Absolutely.
Yeah, do we have that kind of team?
No, we don't have a first or fast response team to any type of an event. They do, the left does, because they're organized. None of this was organic. And I spoke to you on Saturday morning, you know, and you were in the thick of it. You were, you know, getting hammered then and still getting hammered now. So yes, and we need, our side needs a fast, not just a fast response team, but also a fast offensive, an effective offensive game. Yeah. And you point this out well, which is why, Coach, I think that the left is afraid of you. They are afraid of you. I believe that because you're effective at what you do. Look what happened, folks, with Target. Mm-hmm. You know, look what happened with all these things that you do, that you've had successes. Look, equal justice.
Doug, the left isn't laughing at me. I can promise you they're not.
No. If it is, it's a nervous laughter. I like this. I like this a lot, and I think that we need to get behind you.
Let me throw this out there real quick, folks, because this is down the road, but I'm just going to go with this caveat so you can think this thing through. You think of every Christian legal whatever, American Center for Law and Justice, the whatever. You know which ones they are, right? They all play defense. None of them. Can any of you out there name for me a Christian law firm or whatever you want to call that attacks? Can you know of anyone that goes on the offensive? I've been studying the culture for 20 years and none do. And I'm just on this caveat out there. We're in the process of putting together one of those. We're putting together a battery of bulldog attorneys who are going to begin to go on the offensive. We are going to begin to force the others who've been sitting back and suing and getting away with it. Doug, we're going to up the ante, and we're going to see how much they like digging in their pockets to defend themselves rather than constantly attacking us and making us pay. But I get it. That's not very Christian, is it, Coach? That's not very Christian. Well, I think it is.
I think it is, too, because, again, it goes back to you being a man by definition, or I mean a real man, a genuine man who cares about protecting the innocent, which includes children and women. And, you know, it's interesting because the left will say, well, it was an empowering performance. Yet if you watch it, Coach, you're
right.
Sexist.
I mean,
really. So it's empowering for them, sexist for you, to watch and to criticize. Well, you know, where are we at now? So,
Doug, they say that, if the women get out and they strut and J-Lo shows her crotch like that, and if my eyes zoom in on her crotch and I'm objectifying women, right?
Yes.
I'm just objectifying women. So J-Lo, what was she up there dancing around like that trying to sell, shoes? Is that what she's trying to do? Because I didn't notice her shoes. Maybe you did. Makeup? Was she advertising some makeup? No, I know what she was advertising. I know what it was. I know what she wanted. I know what she wanted. Yes, sir, we will. Sorry, Doug, I'm doing a text here. A phone call. I'm supposed to do another program when we're done here on a different channel, and they're bugging me. Sorry there, buddy.
No, that's okay. You know, and that's the thing. And anyone listening to this, I would ask you, please, folks, contact Coach Dave Dobmeier, because we're approaching the top of the hour anyway, Coach. But contact Coach and get the word out, because if you're listening to this and you're watching this and you have your program of your own, invite him on your program. We need to get this going. And yes, this is a word to those people out there. You think we're screwing around? You know what Coach said? A team is forming. And if you're not, watching, we're coming after you. We're coming
Amen.
After you.
Amen, brother. I think it's righteous. We need to do that, Doug, I wonder when Gideon's 300 men went out there and ended up destroying all those dudes. I wonder if Gideon got them back and said, boys, that wasn't very Christ-like. You should never have ever swung your sword at that guy. He'll never get to know Jesus now because you didn't just turn your other cheek. We've lost our mind, haven't we? We've lost our mind. And you know what I think it is? I think it is a great hiding place for cowards. Saying it's not Christian to fight is a great place for cowards to hide.
That's good.
Onward,
hurt.
Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Remember that, don't you?
Yes.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. We don't sing like that anymore, do we, Doug?
Not at all. Not anymore, no. And you're right. Wow, that was powerful what you said. By the way, just stepping back a few paragraph or two. So, convenient place to hide, basically.
Yeah, it is. You can hide. You can say, well, I'm not called to do that. Really? You're not called to protect young eyes? Huh? How come I got the call? How come my phone keeps coming from the Holy Spirit telling me to go find? How come? Can I give him your number? Can I give you guys his number? Maybe they'll call you. Why is he always calling me? It's not. It's my conscience. It's my Holy Spirit connected to the conscience. And realize this is what a godly man does, especially a godly man who's already dead. I'm dead on the inside. They can't kill me. I'm a dead man. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I. I'm not alive. I'm a dead man. What am I afraid of? Let's go, man. Let's go fight for our children and our grandchildren. Let's go stand up for the truth. Let's go push back against the forces of darkness. Let's go take Goliath head on. Let's go do it. I wonder if when David dropped Goliath, I wonder if all the other people around him, did they go up and say, oh, David, that was so unchristlike. In fact, David said, this day I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. David was trash talking as he ran to Goliath. You know that, right?
Yes.
When David dropped him, everybody came running because David was the hero. It's time, folks. It's time. Our God wants us to stand up and defend his holy name. That's what I think it's about.
Amen to that. Coach, you have single-handedly, from what I've seen, changed a lot, changed the course of a lot of events. And this one, I think
we're heading the right way, Doug. The Holy Spirit has breathed on this. I don't know whether we're going to win or lose, but I know this. We're going to leave a mark. We're going to leave a mark on it, Doug.
Indeed, you are. And, yeah, and I love it. So, so you urge people to file a complaint that was on the screen earlier.
Just go to FCC. Just type in FCC and it'll lead you right to the complaint department. And just complain. It's very simple. It's very, very simple.
Okay.
And so what's the objective? The TV. Click on that. Takes you right to you. Ask a couple questions. Boom. Send an email. It's done.
Okay.
We got a million people to do that.
Let's
say
do
whatever
it.
You want to. Yeah, do it. Let's do it.
All right. Now, how can people help you with respect to this initiative? And I believe it's a worthy initiative. How can people help you?
I spoke to a lawyer today. I said, I'm going to try to raise $50,000 for you. We're going to do it. We're going to raise $50,000 and we're going to start with that. And we're going to win this fight. So CoachDaveLive.com is a good place to start. And, it's a righteous cause. It's a Christian cause. It's time.
Amen.
And, we're a little behind the eight ball, but we're going to catch up here, Doug.
And I'll say this. If you think this is a joke, if you think this is, you know, whatever, you know, hyperbole, you got another thing coming because we're coming.
I ain't laughing.
That's right. Coach, I appreciate you very, very much from the bottom of my heart. I really do. And I want to wish you the best. I know the incoming flock that you're getting. And it's,
I got a face of flint, Doug. I got a face of flint, brother. The Lord called me for such a time as this. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just telling you the truth. Let's go.
No,
let's go
I believe
drop
that.
Them in.
we're gonna kick some, you know, some rear ends. That's for sure.
Yep.
Thank you for your time, Coach. I know your time's busy. You're pressed for time right now. Thank you so very much. And we'll be talking again. But we're gonna make
onward,
sure this spread forward.
Onward, Christian soldiers, Doug.
Right, Coach. Thank you, brother.
Bless appreciate you. Thanks, Eric. Right. God bless you, man.
Folks, that was Coach Dave Dubmar. If you didn't see the Fox interview, if you did not see that, wow, how great was that? I mean, to me, that was like, yeah, he nailed it. But you know what? I'm looking at you. And you know who you are. Buckle up. Because we're saying giddy up. I'm going to be right back. Hagman Report.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly. putting truth into action, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report, streaming live on the Global Star Radio Network. Please stand by. Doug and Joe will be back momentarily.
Welcome back to the Hagman Report, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank you so much for your belief, your trust in this platform. Last hour, you heard from Coach Dave Dobmeier. My apologies to John Moore as well with a little snafu. As I said this morning, well, throughout the day, we had some issues protecting our equipment and such because of a water situation in the studio. And again, Eric, the tech is still uncurling his hair now from the 220 and the 110. I'll tell you, the 110 is not bad. He gets used to it, but the 220, that kind of, it takes your breath away. Just go ahead and try that. No, I wouldn't suggest that. I opened the first hour. Now, look, there's so much news from the coronavirus to, to a lot of things going on, to the rip in the fabric, what I would call the rip in the tear in, our United States. And think about that phrase, United States, those two words together, United States. Think about that. But think about what I believe to be is the unfixable, unmendable tear that was really caused by who? By the left. One of the displays, I thought this was humorous but sad as well. One of the displays that we saw over the last couple of days was creepy Joe Biden. And he was addressing one of his own voters. Now think about this. My question is, I shared this to my wife because she understands things a lot better than I do. Well, a lot of the time. And I said, what do you think of this? And she said, oh, I was kidding, right? And maybe, I don't know, but the humor was lost on me. Lying dog face pony soldier. Now, I don't know if I had, oh, I don't know. Let's say I had a guest come on. Or if I said that about a guest. You think I'd be sued for defamation? I'm asking. I don't know. But here's Joe Biden. We ready for that? All right. Here's Joe Biden. Just check this out. Was he joking? Does it matter? But watch. Just watch. Do me a favor. Watch what he does. Not what he says, but what he does during this 1 minute and 29 second clip. Watch what he does. Go ahead.
Oh, awesome. So I'm going to be a little bit mean for a second, okay? So, so you're arguably the candidate with the greatest advantage in this race. You've been the vice president. You weren't burdened down by the impeachment trials. So how do you explain the performance in Iowa, and why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
It's a good question. Number one, I was a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a blind dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were. Now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a little bit confusing in Iowa. Number one. But let's assume it was everything was exactly right in Iowa. The idea that you come in with about half the delegates that the leaders come in with in Iowa does not necessarily say how you're going to win Pennsylvania, how you're going to win Michigan, where, by the way, the Black Caucus of the Michigan legislature just endorsed me in spite of all of this, where the unions have endorsed me in spite of all of this, etc. You can't win.
Interesting twist. I think. Interesting how he explained that Iowa caucus away. I think he just likes saying the word caucus. Maybe we should bring him close to Nancy Pelosi, like I said before, you know, when President Trump held up that acquitted newspaper. And I'm telling you, I think President Trump should have just smacked her on the nose with it. Like that. And I think Creepy Joe. Well, let's do it. Getting old, right? All right. Yeah, that's run its course. Okay. But did you notice what he did? Yeah. Started to disrobe. Nah, you know, he took his coat off. Getting a little warm in there, right, Joe? You know, well, what do you think that means? I'm not going to get into it, but what do you think that means? If you've taken any, you don't have to have taken any body language courses or done any interviews or interrogations to really understand, body language anymore. I think I've got my own thoughts on that, but I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are. Put it in the comment section on YouTube if we're still up. You know, I'd like to hear that. But anyway. All right. In case you haven't seen this, the coronavirus. Folks, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask about this banned video. Of course, Alex Jones, InfoWars, on banned video had posted videos about the quarantines, about the picking up the Chinese picking up suspected infected, the crematorium vans. I mean, watch some of these videos. Now, some of the videos that made it out of China, although I cannot authenticate the videos any more than perhaps you can, they look authentic, they look genuine, and I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, these numbers are not right, obviously. You're looking at the official death toll, for example, since December versus the unofficial death toll. You're looking at 400 million, really 400 million quarantined. Think about this. Do these numbers make sense given that number of quarantine? Do these numbers make sense given the, response by the Chinese? You're not going to get much truth out of China. Why? Well, they're communist. Okay. People's Republic of China. And I think we should keep calling them Red China or Communist China. Now, they reported another 3,062 cases. Now again, think about the numbers here. Do these make sense? So 3,062 cases over the last 24 hours or through midnight on Sunday. Up 15% from Saturday. So even if we go with those numbers, the incremental rise in the number of infections, that's alarming at 15% over a 24-hour period. Now, the novel coronavirus, the death count stands at 909. These are official numbers. I suspect that would probably be in about 9 minutes, given what I'm looking at. And that surpasses the 774 deaths during the SARS outbreak back in 2003 in China. Now, let me continue. One American and one Japanese citizen died from this virus over the weekend, making the first non-Chinese fatalities linked to the virus. More than 40,000 cases of coronavirus have been confirmed globally as of Monday. So, okay. All right. This morning. So let's take a look at this. And you know, your critical thinking skills, mine, look, I'm working through this as well. I did receive some information from somebody who is known to both Steve and I, and I've got to tell you that this individual is saying, look, they're preparing quarantines for here in the United States. And you might say, well, that makes sense. Why wouldn't they? A prudent person prepares, sees trouble ahead and prepares. So why wouldn't they? But you're looking at quarantines, multiple quarantines for large cities. Okay. I'll just stop right there, because what would that do to our travel industry? What would that do to our economy? Is this a bioweapon that is really a multi-purpose, multifaceted bioweapon? And I understand the fact that you would have economic consequences from any kind of epidemic or pandemic. I understand that. But what about this? What about the timing of this? I always look at, is the timing purely coincidental? I ask you. Please answer me. Is the timing coincidental? Are we looking at, and if this, and I stipulate that this is a bioweapon, that this was made or tweaked in a laboratory, that's what I believe based on my research. Now, was it released intentionally? I don't know. But let's say it was tweaked in the laboratory and it was released. Could it have been released as a test run, perhaps? Could it have been released as both a test run and a hot virus that affects, you know, people? Perhaps. Could it have been released as a deliberate, you know, this is it. Let's pull the plug and let's call the population. Also, perhaps. How can any one of us be sure without really knowing the information? Now, President Trump, of course, has a bevy of scientists looking at the origins of this. He wants some answers. But when you have this spread and you look at the spread, you've got new cases in England and Spain. The British government declared today, this morning, that the coronavirus posed a very serious and imminent threat to public health. Now, is that an overstatement? I don't think so. And people will compare this, and I see this happening on message boards, and especially on the right as well, on both, right and left. On message boards, they'll say, well, when you crunch the numbers and look at the numbers, it's really, you've got more of a chance from dying from the normal flu than you do this. Okay, that's if you believe the numbers, the official tally. But do you believe the official tally? If you do, I just have one question for you. What's wrong with you? Because you can't believe the official tally. You believe from China? Okay, so look at this with a critical eye, I would ask. Look at this through the lens of the numbers that we're hearing about, the numbers are being quarantined, the numbers who have admittedly died, the transfer rate of transfer as well. And I know a lot of stations, a lot of broadcasts are covering this. And InfoWars did some really great work with a doctor yesterday. And, as a matter of fact, I'm reaching out to him as we speak or earlier today, but, even as we speak to have him come on as well. Dr. Francis Boyle, a bioweapons expert. Now, the full interview is on InfoWars, InfoWars.com. I would recommend, folks, that you look at that. As a matter of fact, you know what, Eric the Tech, I wonder if we could do this. I don't mean Eric the Tech, Eric. If we could, you know, I don't know, how much time would you need to go to InfoWars.com and grab, you can tell we didn't do much preparation earlier today. Why? Because we were part of the Bucket Brigade. Could you grab that interview at InfoWars.com or no? It's actually InfoWars.com. However, the video is 1 hour and 15 minutes. Obviously, I'm not going to play 1 hour and 15 minutes, but if we can just play the first, what's it called? Okay, the coronavirus, over 900 dead, confirmed cases exceed 40,000. That's at InfoWars.com. And I would urge everyone to read that. There's kind of no sense in reinventing the wheel when we can get the bioweapons or the doctor who knows about this. If we can get him, if we can broadcast what he said yesterday. Because I do believe, and again, this is Professor Francis A. Boyle, giving a breakdown, his analysis of the coronavirus as a bioweapon, and there's that key, I think, right there. Is that okay? Did you get it? He's, again, Folks, let's give it up for Eric the Tech. Come on, stand up. Our massive studio audience. All right. Watch this.
Kissinger memorandum, which I have read, that depopulation should be an objective of U.S. national security policy. And as I told you, I went through the exact same PhD program at Harvard that produced Kissinger before me, deliberately, just to see how these people think and work. And they even gave me Kissinger's old office for 1 year when I was an associate at Harvard's Center
no,
for
No, you did a great job infiltrating Mordor.
I thought I would send a message to all life scientists here in America not to do this. Indeed, I gave interviews to many of the science magazines pointing out that they face life in prison if they did this. But, Alex, the last time I crunched the numbers was 2015. We had 13,000 so-called life scientists here in the United States involved in the research, development, and testing of biological warfare agents. They took a coronavirus and they DNA genetically engineered it into a biological weapon known as SARS. So SARS itself is already a biological warfare weapon. And then they super-dupered it, supercharged it, again, with DNA genetic engineering, maybe synthetic biology, to add into SARS, HIV, as Alex correctly pointed out, that Indian study, and the flu virus. And then they gave it these gain of function activities. So we're dealing here, Ed, with some type of super duper biological weapon that we have never encountered before. We've wasted $120 billion on biological warfare. That money should have been spent improving the public health and medical treatment of the American people and not on this biowarfare work. And every BSL-3, every BSL-4 facility here in the United States should be shut down immediately before we have an accident like what happened in Wuhan. You know, we have to be very careful here. You know, there but for the grace of God go I when we're looking at what's happening in Wuhan here. I don't want to see it here happen to my American people.
All right.
The best thing I can do.
That was a lot of information packed in that little segment there. If you can keep that at the ready, though, because right after this, there's some additional information that is shared, and I'd like to continue with that. The issue here, I don't know if you, I'm sure you folks caught this as well, and you can watch the entire uninterrupted interview at Infowars.com, but Dr. Francis Boyle drafted the Biological Weapons Act. He gave a detailed statement admitting that the 2019, this is what it is, 2019 Wuhan coronavirus, is an offensive biological warfare weapon and that the World Health Organization already knows about it. I would say already knew about it, the World Health Organization. And in case you missed this, the World Health Organization, along with the United Nations, the over the umbrella, had talked about deploying troops, personnel, into all countries to manage this. Now, that should really disturb all of us. But the, and if you're wondering who Dr. Francis Boyle is, he's a professor of international law at the University of Illinois College of Law. So he's not some, you know, basement blogger. Okay. He drafted the U.S. domestic, implementing legislation for the Biological Weapons Convention. So he knows bioweapons, and Steve Quayle talked about Ken Albeck, and others. But so the, This is right up there. And by the way, thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Matt. And thank you, everyone, for the Patreon or during the Patreon meeting who brought this, the name of this guy up. I looked them up afterwards and zeroed in on. So, anyway, the, Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989, he's behind the drafting the legislation for that. It was approved, by the way, unanimously by both houses of Congress, signed into law by President George H.W. Bush, for what it's worth. I know. So he had given this the gentleman you saw there had given an interview to Geopolitics and Empire. He discussed the coronavirus, that what we're seeing right now, as well as what you heard him say about the biosafety level 4 laboratory, which is BSL-4, from which he believes the infectious disease escaped, whether it was walked out, transported out, or, you know, by accident. But he believes what you saw, that gentleman. And again, I tip my hat to him, and I look, I don't know half of, I mean, the guy's an expert on this. But he believes that the virus is potentially lethal and an offensive biological warfare weapon, or better still, a dual-use biowarfare weapon, weapons agent. Genetically modified, you heard him say that, with gain-of-function properties. Now, what does that mean, gain-of-function properties? It's kind of like a force multiplier, which is why the Chinese government originally tried to cover it up and is now taking drastic measures to contain it. Now it's starting to make sense to me. So, okay. He believes, and he talks about this, that Wuhan, China, that outbreak there, and the biosafety level 4 lab from which he believes this infectious disease escaped, he believes that the virus is potentially lethal and an infectious bioweapon. Or a dual-use bioweapon. Genetically modified. Gain-of-function properties, kind of a force multiplier here. And the reason the Chinese now are doing what they're doing is because they're trying to cover up for what they've done. There are bioweapons, in case you don't know about this either, there are bioweapons, biowarfare agents, I should say, working at the Canadian lab in Winnipeg. They were involved in smuggling coronavirus to the Wuhan lab, where it is believed to have been leaked. So let's kind of go back a little bit, because we've been tossing this theory around a little bit. People say, well, it came from Canada. No, that's BS. It didn't come from Canada. It came from China. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Because people tend to, like, well, if it didn't come from Canada, where did it come from? It came from China. Well, if it came from China, it came from a seafood, somebody eating bat soup. Okay. Wait. Dr. Boyle says, wait a minute. Chinese biowarfare agents working in a Canadian laboratory in Winnipeg were involved in smuggling the virus out and smuggling it into Wuhan, into the laboratory there, where from there it was released or leaked or, whoops, I dropped the vial. I don't know. Now, his position, obviously, is in direct contrast with the mainstream media's narrative of the virus being originated from the seafood market, like I said before. And I don't think many people believe that, do you? And I don't know whether you folks have seen this, Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. He took the media to task last week that, he said, no, this didn't happen this way. You know, the animal stuff. And he even said that the Wuhan wet market, which, and I even did this, I incorrectly referenced it as a seafood market. It was a wet market. It has been shown by experts not to be the source of this virus. Now, he referenced the same cotton. Senator Cotton referenced the same Lancet study that I did on this program that showed that many of the first cases of the novel coronavirus, including patient zero, and this is important, had no connection to that wet market. So the media, meanwhile, is still saying, well, it came from a bat, it came from a flea on a bat, it came from a, you know, the soup of a bat and the brains of a bat or the beak of a bat or the eye of Newt Gingrich. I don't know. You know. No. Now, there was an epidemiologist who said that the virus went into the seafood market before it came out of the seafood market. We still don't know where it originated. Okay. That's possible. Also, Cotton said that I would note that the Wuhan, that Wuhan also has China's only BSL 4 or biosafety level 4 super lab. They work with this virus. So you're telling me that the province that has the only BSL 4, that's where it originated, in Wuhan. I don't believe in coincidences. And you can follow Senator Tom Cotton on Twitter as well. He's been pretty active, and I've been watching what he's been posting. And he has, if he's got any ability to dig in there and get the facts and to get it out through Twitter, yeah, that seems like a ridiculous thing to do, right, through Twitter. But how good is that? How convenient is that? I got more about this and some other things, too. By the way, did you get your President Trump's impeachment acquittal pins yet? Folks, we're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
And welcome to Hagman, the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I want to thank each and every one of you for your belief and your trust in this platform. Thank you for your support. Really appreciate that. Don't forget HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. You don't have to put anything up. HagmanStore.com. Where I like the, how's that, huh? The Detective's Choice coffee. You got three blends. You got Detective's Choice, Patriot, and Revolution blend. How much foresight was that? Eric the Tech said, you know, if we're going to have a revolution, we need some coffee around here. And if we're going to have a second American revolution, then doggone it, we need some strong coffee around here, and we should have coffee for the second American revolution. That's what Eric said. I'm being really serious. Talk about foresight. That's why he gets paid the big bucks. So he said, here, I'm going to make, trust me on the Patriot blend. We're going to name it the Patriot blend. We're going to name it the, Revolution blend, Revolutionary blend. You handle the detectives thing. I want to take charge of these two. Revolution blend, a Patriot blend. And he did. Good stuff. We have a great roaster from the roaster to your door in like 4 days. Whole bean, my favorite. Snack on them. And Kevin, I'm working on the chocolate covered beans. Hang in there. But anyway, HagmanStore.com. Whole bean, ground, and cake ups. HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. And the profits go to a good cause, and that's sustaining, like Russ Dizdar and Craig Sawyer and their efforts to fight child and human sex trafficking. All right. Now, getting back on this coronavirus, because I think this is really important for people to really kind of head into here. Because without our health, what else do we have? Without our, I mean, really, we can talk politics all day long. We could talk about a lot of things. But without us being healthy, what do we have? What concerns me, before we get back to Dr. Francis Boyle, what concerns me, and the more I research things, the more I get disturbed. There was a death last week. Does the name Frank Plummer mean anything to you guys? Frank Plummer, he's a scientist, and he received the Saudi SARS coronavirus sample. And he was working on coronavirus, this HIV coronavirus vaccine, in the Winnipeg-based lab from where the virus was smuggled by Chinese biowarfare agents and weaponized. You can go to Great Game Media. That's Great Game Media. I'll say it one more time. Great Game Media. I'm sorry. Jeez, nothing like drilling that in your head. Great Game India. Let's try this again. Rewind this. Great Game India. That's Great Game India. You can go there. GreatGameIndia.com. And you can read about this. But the more I research this, this scientist, Frank Plummer, and this is a guy who received the sample of the coronavirus, SARS coronavirus, and was working on this vaccine in the Winnipeg-based Canadian lab from where the virus was smuggled by Chinese biowarfare agents. This is what he's saying. And weaponized, and as revealed by Great Game India, by their investigation, he died mysteriously. Well, he died in mysterious conditions. He was the key to the Chinese biolab or biological espionage case at Winnipeg's National Microbiology Laboratory. I would urge everyone to go to greatgameindia.com and read this. Now, Dr. Plummer was 67 years old. He was in Kenya, where he was a keynote speaker at the annual meeting of the University of Nairobi, their collaborative center for research and training in HIV, AIDS, and STDs. Okay. Or STIs. There's Dr. Larry Gelman, helped set up that meeting. He said Dr. Plummer collapsed. He was taken to a hospital in Nairobi, and he was pronounced dead on arrival. They haven't yet released a cause of death or confirmed a cause of death. Now, Plummer was raised in Winnipeg, where he headed up Canada's National Microbiology Laboratory for a number of years. He was also involved in the research and partnership, research partnership between the University of Manitoba and the University of Nairobi. But he helped to identify a lot of factors, key factors that are involved in the HIV transmission, at least in the early days of the AIDS HIV situation. So anyway, okay, sorry about that. I was looking at, again, my wife, ladies and gentlemen. You want to come in? Oh, boy. She's not happy with me. All right. Anyway, so that's the situation. So you're looking at an alleged or potential assassination, which I, after looking at this, I'm thinking, you know, there are no coincidences in this respect or in this case. One more thing. Again, Great Game India, and this is something that's on Great Game India's website, reported that, as Great Game India reported in their exclusive coronavirus bioweapon report, a scientific director, Frank Plummer, was the one who acquired the SARS coronavirus sample at the NML Winnipeg lab, from a guy by the name of Ron Fauchier. Now, Ron Fauchier is a leading virologist at the Erasmus Medical Center in Rotterdam, the Netherlands, who sent the virus by Egyptian virologist Dr. Ali Mohammed Zaki, who isolated and identified a previously unknown type of coronavirus from the Saudi patient's lungs. Now, are you confused yet? Maybe it was my delivery. Maybe it was my stumbling over Fauchier. But what happened was this: Fauchier sequenced the virus from a sample sent by Zaki using a broad-spectrum pan-coronavirus real-time chain-reacting device. The initials are RT-PCR, if you really need to know that. Like, I don't need to know that. But they tested the purpose of that device, or the purpose of the test, was to test for distinguishing features of a number of known coronavirus known to infect human beings. So here's the deal. Go back a number of years ago. This is history. I mean, these are facts that you need to know. You might say, well, it doesn't matter how it got here. It doesn't matter how it got released. It doesn't matter. You go back kind of like, if you're looking at this, and the way I look at it, if you're looking at this like a crime, you go back to the first crime scene. Give you some history. The coronavirus sample arrived at the Canada's Winnipeg facility, bioweapons facility, back in May 2013. They got it from a Dutch lab. And this was received by Frank Plummer. What the Canadian lab did was they grew up different stocks of the virus and used it to assess diagnostic tests being used in Canada. So Winnipeg, the scientists there in Winnipeg worked to see which animal species could be affected with the new virus. I'm sure somebody at the Oscars had a problem with that last night. But research was done in conjunction with the Canadian Food Inspection Agency's National Lab, the National Center for Foreign Animal Diseases, which happens to be housed in the same complex, but that aside. Now, this Winnipeg-based Canadian lab was targeted by Chinese agents in what could be termed as biological espionage. Now, this is important stuff. I was going through this earlier today and this morning and such. I'm thinking, man, there are a lot of layers to this. This goes back to 2013. And why is it, who cares? Well, Hang on, I'm going to circle back around to that. Dr. Plummer was working on HIV vaccine, interesting, recently published studies, by the way, Indian scientists, and this is where the HIV factor has come in. Frank Plummer was also working on HIV, on the HIV vaccine. And he recently published a study. Indian scientists found HIV-like injections in Wuhan coronavirus. Now, to give a proper credit, Alex Jones discussed this, I think, Saturday or Sunday, which kind of made me come back over to look at this and to dig down deep in this. But this was what this is the key that made the jump from the animals to humans possible. Now, there was a lot of online criticism on social media about this whole process that I won't get into because that's just an aside, I suppose. But the man who died last week was the key to the entire investigation on the origins of the coronavirus bioweapon. And that is the key here. The question is, hey, Trudeau, are you going to open an investigation into this matter? I'm asking. The Canadian investigation on the Winnipeg biological espionage case, which goes back to 2013, 7 years ago, it's shrouded in secrecy. So, greatgameindia.com. My apologies for screwing up the name before, but I wanted to touch on that, on Dr. Frank Plummer, because I think, especially given the fact that he was working with the SARS coronavirus, and given the fact that he identified the HIV trigger mechanism or the HIV conduit here, I think his death, you know, 67, do people drop dead? Sure they do. They drop dead at 20, you know? I mean, look, it happens, but the timing is really more than convenient. If you don't mind, can we go to that video of Dr. Plummer? And this is compliments of greatgameindia.com. Can we go to that? All right. I caught Eric the tech off guard, which I do all of the time. So just let me know when you're ready. Just shout in my ear. All right. Here it is.
Dr. Francis Boyle, who is international law professor at the University of Illinois, will be discussing the Wuhan coronavirus and biological warfare. He's served as counsel to numerous governments, such as Bosnia and Herzegovina and the Palestinian Authority. He's represented numerous national and international bodies in the areas of human rights, war crimes and genocide, nuclear policy, and biowarfare. He's written numerous books, one of my favorites being Destroying Libya and World Order, which I assigned as mandatory reading material for my own students when I taught at the Monterey Institute of Technology. But most important for this interview, he's written a book called Biowarfare and Terrorism and drafted the U.S. domestic implementing legislation for the Biological Weapons Convention, known as the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989, that was approved unanimously by both houses of the U.S. Congress and signed into law by President Bush. And thanks for joining us, Dr. Boyle.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and thanks for that kind introduction.
Now, let's get to what's been on the news recently, this coronavirus in Wuhan. There have been some reports recently. There's a really interesting website called Great Game India that has been reporting on this. And they've been talking about China, which they say has been complying with Biological Weapons Convention in recent years. But then there are some people in the U.S. and experts that have been saying that in reality, China isn't complying with the Weapons Convention. And I think neither perhaps the U.S. As well. And, you know, I'm wondering if China is developing its own biosafety level for lab in Wuhan and elsewhere as, you know, as a type of deterrence. Is it a type of a biological arms race that we have going on? You told me in an email that you suspect China was developing the coronavirus as a dual-use biowarfare weapons agent. And also, what do you make of reports that Chinese scientists have been stealing research and viruses, including the coronavirus, from a Canadian biolab this past December? And as well, Chinese nationals have been charged with smuggling vials of biological research to China from the U.S. With the aid of Charles Lieber, who was the chair of Harvard's chemistry department, and who also happened to be in 2011 a strategic scientist at Wuhan University. So can you tell us what's going on with this recent outbreak in Wuhan?
Right. Well, that's a lot of questions. I guess we can take them one at a time. But if you just do a very simple Google search on does China have a BSL-4 laboratory, Wuhan comes up right away. It's at the top of the list. That's all. The moment this type of thing happened, I began to do that. And so a BSL-4 is the most serious type. And basically, BSL-4 labs, we have many of them here in the United States, are used to develop offensive biological warfare weapons with DNA genetic engineering. So it does seem to me that the Wuhan BSL-4 is the source of the coronavirus, yes. And my guess is that they were researching SARS, and they weaponized it further by giving it gain-of-function properties, which means it could be more lethal. And indeed, the latest report now is it's 15% fatality rate, which is more than SARS, and 83% infection rate. So typical gain of function, it travels in the air. So it could reach out maybe 6 feet or more from someone emitting a sneeze or a cough. Likewise, this is a specially designated WHO research lab. So the WHO is in on it, and they knew full well what was going on there. Yes, it's also been reported that Chinese scientists stole coronavirus materials from the Canadian lab at Winnipeg. Winnipeg is Canada's foremost center for research, developing, testing biological warfare weapons. It's along the lines of Fort Detrick here in the United States of America. And, yeah, I have 3 degrees from Harvard. Would not surprise me if something was being stolen out of Harvard to turn over to China. I read that report. I don't know what was in those vials one way or the
All
other.
Right.
But the bottom line is...
Pause that for a minute, please, if you don't mind. All right, so here are the key takeaways from this. And this, I thought, was the most important. He said, and I quote, "So it does seem to me that the Wuhan BSL-4 is the source of the coronavirus." Now, remember, President Trump has authorized a commission to look into this. He goes on, "My guess is that they were researching SARS." Remember the initial ties to SARS? You heard it and then you didn't hear it. It kind of floated in and out by the drive-by media. "So my guess is that they were researching SARS and they weaponized it further by giving it a gain." This is what he said, "a gain of function properties." A gain of function properties, which means it could be more lethal. So they tweaked it. Now, this interview was done, I think, 2-3 days ago. It was done on the 8th, I believe. And he said the latest report now is it's a 15% fatality rate. That's concerning, which is more than SARS at an 83% infection rate. A typical gain of function, as he said, travels in the air, so it could reach out maybe 5 or 6 feet more from someone emitting a sneeze or a cough. And I would also add in there bathroom activities, as Ted Brewer talked about as well. Then he said this, "Likewise, this is a specially designated WHO research lab." The WHO was in on it, and they knew full well what was going on there. So if we take that, which I believe is a very reasoned, very well-reasoned assumption, if we kind of break that down, then yes, we are talking about a bioweapon, and yes, we are talking about a deliberate, almost like an Andromeda strain. Remember that movie kind of thing taking place here. And he also said, yes, it's also been reported that Chinese scientists stole coronavirus materials from the Canadian lab at Winnipeg. That's what he said. And it's Winnipeg is Canada's formal center for research, as he mentioned. It's along the lines of Fort Detrick, he said. So, okay. All right. So what does that mean? Now, Dr. Francis Boyle, he drafted the U.S., as he said, the U.S. domestic implementing legislation for bioweapons convention that was approved, again, by both houses in Congress back during the Bush years, Bush senior years. He also said this, that it appears that the coronavirus that we're dealing with here and now is an offensive biological warfare weapon that leaped out of that special Wuhan BSL-4. But then he couched it by saying, I'm not saying it was done deliberately, but there had been previous reports of problems with that lab and things leaking out of it. And I'm not talking about leaking out like opening a door and something, you know. No. And he said that I'm afraid that that's what we're dealing with today. All right. And you can follow him, or you can follow this as well, Great Game India, on Twitter, at Great Game India. And the transcript to his interview is on the Twitter feed of Great Game India. And also the reference to Frank Plummer, the Winnipeg-based Canadian National Microbiology Laboratory scientist. The key to this investigation, the guy that was, it would be like the lead detective in a case investigating a murder or mob, organized crime case. Him turning up dead. And we've seen that, haven't we? Okay. Now, he goes on, and there's a few other issues here that I don't know, folks, I don't know if you know this. I mean, when I heard this, I thought, my goodness. The U.S. has spent $100 billion on biological warfare research. We know that the Soviet Union developed anthrax as a bioweapon. Pretty sure about that. And U.K., France, Israel, China are all involved in bioweapons or biological warfare weapons research. Now, here's something very interesting. 1 or 2 years ago, a Bulgarian journalist and the Russian government shared their concern. They had a common concern of the discovery of a U.S. bioweapons lab in the country of Georgia. The country, Georgia, not the state. You know, in Africa, U.S. has established bioweapons labs to work on Ebola. That's illegal under international law, but hey, what do laws matter anymore, right? But somehow they put those labs in Africa. All of these BSL-4, level 4 labs, are by the United States, Europe, Russia, China, Israel, and are all there to ostensibly research, develop, and test biological warfare agents. Now, there is absolutely no legitimate scientific reason to have BSL-4 labs. This according to Dr. Francis Boyle. $100 billion back in 2015 to operate these labs. To give you an idea, that's as much in constant dollars as the U.S. spent to develop the Manhattan Project. Think about that. So it's obviously weapons related. I think that's that ship sailed. There are 13, now listen to this, 13,000 alleged life scientists, scientists involved, 13,000 involved in research developed testing biological weapons here in the United States. 13,000. This predates 9/11. So what do we have? An offensive biological weapon raised perhaps by the U.S. government and with its assistance in Canada and Britain. This is a criminal act. It does appear that this originated and was stole from Winnipeg, the facility up there in Winnipeg. All of this violates, by the way, the Biological Weapons Convention. Now, what Dr. Francis Boyle did say is that he's not saying that the Chinese deliberately inflicted this upon their own people, but it did undoubtedly leak out of there, and all of these labs leak in some way, shape, or form. But the Chinese government, under this current leadership, under this current communist leadership and his comrades, they've been covering this up and covering this up from the very start. The first reported case, in case you didn't know, was December 1st of last year. They sat on this until they couldn't sit on this anymore. And now we're seeing the results. And the World Health Organization has refused to declare this a global health emergency, but stand by. Last thing here. Consider the fact that many countries, back in 2009, many countries purchased great stocks of vaccines for go back 2009 with swine flu. Think of the stocks. I mean, I'm talking about the stocks for the pharmaceuticals, vaccines and vaccine holders. But the stocks for the vaccine companies went sky high. And the World Health Organization is a front for big pharma. Think Robert F. Kennedy, for example. He cites where 50% of World Health Organization funding comes from the pharmaceutical companies, and that the CDC itself is also severely compromised. The bottom line is you can't trust anything the World Health Organization says because they're all bought and paid for by Big Pharma. End of story. And they're working in conjunction with the CDC, which is the United States government. And they work in conjunction with Fort Detrick. So you can't trust any of this stuff. You can't trust it. So if you think you know, I guess the takeaway here is if you think you know and you can trust this information, you don't know. You really don't know. Sorry about that. I mean this. The bottom line here, genetically modified biological warfare weapon. That's what we're dealing with. How effective is this going to be? Remains to be seen. Give it a few days. Give it a few weeks. We're going to see more of it. Folks, are listening, or thank you for joining the Hagman Report. I really appreciate you joining me tonight. Until tomorrow, may God bless you. And John Moore, I apologize for the bump there. Thanks for joining me. Have a good night.